Hello, and welcome to our special series of Green Elephant interviews during March 2021, supporting the annual B Corps month. B Corporations, or B Corps for short, are businesses that meet the highest standards of verified social and environmental performance, public transparency, and legal accountability to balance profit and purpose. Throughout March, we are chatting with key people in companies which have chosen to certify as B Corps and become a force for good. So today I have been joined by Robbie Hearn from Standing on Giants. Standing on Giants help businesses build online communities. Born from the team that created the community-led success story GiftGaff, they now work with clients like Airbnb, O2, Pure Planet, Utilita and Tesco Bank. They've been a certified B Corp for a year, and Robbie Hearn is the founder. Welcome to the show, Robbie.
Great to be here, Mike.
Yeah, good to have you here. And congratulations on being our first standing guest. I think that makes you really unique. And a really broad question to start, really.
Yeah.
There are a lot of words in the world, and things like green and eco-friendly and terms like that, that mean all things to all people, depending on who's hearing them. And I think community is possibly one of those words. So I was wondering, what is a community? What does that mean to you?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Community is, maybe it's always meant a million things to a million people, but it certainly is used very widely now to mean all sorts of different things. And I think the clearest definition in my mind was always a community is just a group of people who share a common interest. That was the simplest definition that has worked for me in the past. I think recently I've been, reading some of my peers' stuff, and I read a book by Carrie Melissa Jones recently and Charles Vogel, and I love their definition is working even better for me now, which is a group of people who show mutual concern for each other, right? So that is a really useful definition, I think, in today's world, especially when we think about communities for businesses, where it's quite common for businesses to claim a really huge community. We've got, 20 million people signed up to our Facebook page, for instance. Yeah. That language gets used a lot, but by any kind of historic definition or meaningful definition, that isn't really a community, right? It's quite superficial. And I think the idea of mutual concern is a great differentiator, because it's very unlikely that those 20 million people who've liked that Facebook page even know each other, let alone have any mutual concern. So that's the kind of...
And that mutual concern is really interesting, because you can have a locality-based community who may not share interests or even care about each other that much, I guess.
That's right. So I think that's what I'm always looking for, is what's the kind of critical thing that really differentiates a meaningful community from one that has less power and less meaning. And I think the mutual concern thing is definitely top of mind for me at the moment.
And so Standing on Giants, it's an unusual name. How did that come about?
Well, the interesting story there is I started my career in corporates, so the first half of my career was working in big corporates, and then the second half has been in smaller businesses, and then eventually, owning and leading my own small business. But Standing on Giants, I formed originally within a corporate, right? So we were working in Telefonica, global company, 300,000 people or something. And, although corporates, get slammed a lot, one of the interesting things about corporates, I think, is that you can have jobs in corporates that don't exist anywhere else, because they couldn't. And it turned out, when I set this company up inside Telefonica, and we were struggling for a name, Vincent, my co-founder, and I, somebody said to us, there's a guy, right? There's a guy who, that's his job, right? His job is just to come up with names for new businesses. And we thought, well, that cannot be true, right? But it was. And so this guy helped us work through what we wanted the company to be about. he said, you've got a choice between a narrative name or a googly woogly type name, pros and cons to both. We went for the narrative name, and the story is, you know, the famous story about Sir Isaac Newton at the end of his life, when he was asked, you know, how did you achieve so much great things? He said, if I've seen further, it's by standing on the shoulders of giants. So I like that. I always like that for the sense of humility in the quote and the sense that great things are often done collectively, right?
Yeah.
Over long periods of time. The power of the crowd is more than the power of the individual.
Yeah.
And that's really at the heart of the types of communities that we want to build.
And that's really interesting. I mean, you mentioned the big corporate background. I've got some experience of that myself. I was in IBM for a time, then Deutsche Telekom, and we did some, obviously, some Telefonica, Orange, T-Mobile type things. So you got some experience of that big, and really, you said there's somebody that can do all these things, and I've kind of experienced that. That idea of community in a big corporate is a bit of a different beast, isn't it? Did you not find that it was the kind of community you wanted, or you could create it within that structure?
It definitely means something different inside a big corporate. I mean, I think, you know, forming communities inside corporates is quite difficult because you have so many different agendas, you know. Yeah. And I think even if you go, you know, beyond the walls of the corporate, you're trying to set up a community that represents the corporate. That's also very difficult because the corporate represents so many different things. You know, communities really work well when there's a really simple, clear purpose. You know, that's like a seed for people to, you know, to gather around. And that's difficult with giant corporates because they're complicated beasts, you know, doing multiple things. It's hard to get that clarity of vision and purpose.
So you decided to branch out and set up Standing on Giants. Did you have that clarity of vision and purpose at the start? Did you know exactly where you wanted to go and what you wanted to do?
Yes, I think, you know, the vision for me has always been around transforming the way that we do business generally, right? So it's always been quite a grand vision in my head, you know, that the way that we've done business for the last 500 years has been brilliant in many ways. It's fostered a lot of innovation. It's pulled the world forward. You know, you can talk about taking 1 billion people out of poverty in China and attribute that to, you know, the general path of development that has existed, you know. But it's super clear to everybody, including all the listeners, you know, that model is broken, right? It's the what got us here will not get us into the next 500 years, right? If we keep going the way we've been, we're not going to make it 50 years, right? Yeah. So that's what's really been driving me all along, is whether I work for a corporate or a smaller business, it's how can we re-engineer businesses to be more productive parts of the human experiment, right? How can they become more better contributors to the progress of humanity, better more responsible citizens within the fabric of society, right? Yeah. So I think that's always been my vision, is like, well, how can I play a tiny part in that grand journey, right? And it started really with me. My background has always been about on the customer side of businesses. So how does the business represent itself to its customers? How does it do its marketing, its customer experience? How does it reflect the brand? Mm. And, you know, in that, I've always been thinking, well, how can we do that more responsibly? How can we do that with a greater sense of collaboration and with less sense of exploitation? Because the early part of my career was, you know, basically learning how giant corporates exploit customers within the letter of the law, but still not really, it doesn't really make you feel good about yourself, you know, when you're running massive marketing campaigns that are extracting an extra 10 quid per month out of people in a perfectly legal way. It doesn't matter that it's legal. It's like, it's not really how we should be doing things, you know.
And so the desire to create company branded based communities and be more inclusive and more listening, I guess, and aware of customers, was it a a kind of a technology-led solution, or was it a kind of just a we need to build something that's a community around here? How did that service evolve?
Well, it actually came out of an experience, right? Which was I moved to a really small startup in 2007 called B Broadband in London. Okay. And they had the logo for the company was just B with a little asterisk. And then you look for the small print in the ads and in four point, it just said, we have no terms and conditions. Right? And their whole thing was like, we just want to be super transparent. We think that the industry is, you know, hoodwinking customers all the time at hidden costs. So the whole ethos around the brand was just, we're just going to give you the fastest possible broadband with no hidden catches, right? Which I loved. So I went to work with them, started doing their customer stuff. And I went into the office one day, which was actually in a little Muse house in Paddington. Okay. And there were all these people sitting around who I'd never seen before. And I said to the MD, who are these people? Thinking it was like a development team. He said, oh, no, they're just customers, right? We get the customers in every 2 weeks.
Wow, brilliant.
And we just buy them pizza and we sit around and we chat about, you know, what they like, what they don't like. And I was like, amazing. That is just brilliant, right? You know, it's the absolute antithesis of just being in a corporate and never even seeing a customer for years, right? Here was a company that was actually pulling customers in, having pizza, talking to them, relating to them one-to-one, right? And that was a real light bulb moment for me. And it turned out then that they also were kind of continuing this this attitude really through an online community, right? So this relationship was continuous via the internet. But it was really the spirit of the relationship that made the difference, not the technology. And that's still true today. You know, something we say through Standing on Giants to all our clients is it's a successful community is never about the technology, right? Yes, you need technology, you know, just like if you, you know, if you want to go to the moon, you need a rocket, right? Yeah. It's a tool, it's a facilitator, but you could spend, and I've seen clients spend millions of dollars on technology and not have a community, right?
Yep.
It just doesn't get you there, right? What gets you there is a whole bunch of other stuff around, you know, the human side of the interaction and a real intent on the behalf of the client to change things up, to have a more collaborative, participative relationship. So that's where the magic lies, you know,
And I noticed that very clearly on your website, which we'll obviously link people to in the show notes, but the service is broken out into various aspects of support and help and engagement and things. And the platform is not the central piece, I guess. So what you've just said, you have the platform technology, but I don't think what you're saying is that's not what makes you unique. What makes you unique is the bits around it.
Definitely. We're the only company that we know of in the world that has these other bits as well. Yeah. I know it's not particularly articulate, you know, but in our marketing speak, we've got the whole solution, right? If you want to build a human community, you need human skills to be deployed. You need to think about processes. You need to think about how you're going to communicate, right? How you're going to integrate the work of the community into the existing fabric of the business. And so we have all of that support really around the technology. And then nobody else, there are a few other people who can do bits and pieces of that, but nobody can really put it together the way we can, because we did it for the first time with GIFGAF. You know, that was the company that I helped set up in 2009, and that was the first time in this country where a mobile provider had gone 100% online from the start. So you had to have a community that was working. It wasn't like a nice to have add-on.
And I know from my own personal experience and people I've interacted and spoken to that GIFGAF have a completely different customer engagement to other telecoms providers who have perhaps less positive experience, let's say.
Yeah.
You know, the GIFGAF users are all, I mean, not university, but everybody I've spoken to, every interaction I've seen is positive about that company and what that company provides. And it's, I guess it's part of that community, really, isn't it? The way that it's grown.
Yeah, it's part of having values at the center of the business proposition from the start. You know, that we are going to be transparent, we're going to be, all those kind of buzzwords which get misused, they were genuinely true with GIFCAF and continue to be true. And then, you know, people are smart. People can see through manipulation these days, you know, and they know when they're being treated fairly and when they're not. And I think that's what GIFCAF has successfully walked the talk there and always dealt fairly with people and been transparent. And that's why it's still, I think, got the highest CSAT, the highest NPS of any telco in the UK. It's constantly winning the Which Awards and so on, you know, as well as being a profitable business. So the two things don't have to be mutually exclusive.
Yeah, and I think that's what these interviews with B Corps are showing this month. We're speaking to lots of B Corps, and they are being more profitable, more successful, despite, you know, and probably because they are trying to do the right thing and being more ethical and sustainable. I guess my next question, you've kind of answered already. I was going to say, well, you know, why would people use Standing on Giants and not just set up their own community and do their own, you know, Facebook group page, whatever, or establish a community somewhere else? And I mean, you might add some more on that, but it sounds like,
I think the simple reason is it's bloody hard work, right? To get it working. You know, you think community, we've had communities for thousands of years, which we have, right? We're a social species, right? And everybody knows what it feels like to be part of a community. You know, whether that's your you know, your family or your local running group, you know, or it's just so intrinsic to us as humans, right? But when you try and actually create that, you know, particularly in a commercial setting, or, you know, for a charity or for a social enterprise, when you're trying to create that around an organization, it's way more complicated to execute, you know, than you think. You know, for a whole bunch of reasons, you know, we haven't got time to go into on the podcast, right? But it's really that's the simplest answer, right? Is the you only have to look around at how many failed communities there are around, you know, that just have nobody in them, right?
Nobody talking.
Or
last
post 3 years ago, one thumbs up, you know. There's an enormous amount of psychology and practical know-how needed to build a sense of engagement and encourage it, and to keep the place safe, and to, you know, resolve conflicts, and to inspire people and do the motivation. You know, all of that stuff is much trickier to execute than people generally think. So the most common experience in community building is to focus on the bit that seems obvious, which is the platform.
Yep.
Stick a platform in, sit back, wait for the magic to happen, and then a year later you're again, there's just nothing here, right? So we know how to do all the bits in between because we've done it so many times, and we love helping people get there as well, you know. And that's a big difference about what we do versus the technology suppliers, for instance, who will just come in and sell you a bit of kit and then disappear, right? We don't do that, right? What we want to do is just is stay with you on your journey and help you through all these different stages.
So what does B Corps bring to Standing on Giants? You know, why did you become a B Corp, and why did you feel it was a valuable thing to have?
Yeah, well, I think the main thing for me was I'd had all these wonderful aspirations in my head about, you know, how to change business for the better. But when I looked at the business and what we were actually doing, I thought, well, I just don't know if we're doing enough, right? I don't know what exactly we should be doing. And so when we started to, you know, interact with B Corp, I really loved how detailed their assessment was, right? You know, it sounds a bit perverse, right? It's like, oh my God, you know, you're going to put me through this great big bloody questionnaire and actually force me to show you documents and what we're doing, you know? It would be so much easier if you just came and said, oh yeah, you look all right, we'll give you a tick, right? But the process is so rigorous, right, and so detailed, that was actually like a spur for me, right, and for the other, you know, for the rest of us in the company. It's like, oh, actually, here's a bunch of stuff that we could be doing to improve you know, recycling. We'd never thought about recycling this or that, right? We'd never thought about extra policies we could put in for the staff, right? It was so useful for that. So I think, you know, in the words of our marketing lead, Rob Forks, you know, he's always saying to me, you know, we've got to walk the talk, right? And that's what B Corp did for me personally and for the business in general. It really helped us up our game and make things real, right? Rather than just be aspirational or you know, words on a page. You need a roadmap to get to places, right? Yeah. And the B Corp process is a brilliant roadmap, I think.
Yeah, and several of our guests have talked about that roadmap. They've talked about, you know, that it then gives them somewhere to improve to and to show them what they need to do. And many talked about the, you know, the size of the questionnaire. I'm not sure anybody say that they really love the size of the questionnaire, but you know, I guess it shows its value, doesn't it? If it was easy, everybody would do it, and you know, it wouldn't be worth anything or meaningful. So
that's it. Yeah, yeah.
Great. Robbie, we're asking all of our guests to suggest an action or a tip for the listeners to say, if you could go away and do one thing today, here's a tip for you. So have you got something you'd like to share?
Yeah, I've thought of something, and I was trying to think of something that may be a little bit different, you know, to the types of things. So you've got a very knowledgeable audience as well, I'm sure. And it's like, I don't really want to come on and say, well, you know, use a you know, a cardboard cup instead of a plastic cup, right? So I think what I can offer is probably located in my own experience and a bit like what I've been talking about. You know, I think that what the world really needs now, in one way, is the skills around collective thinking, right? I think, you know, to solve all these really big challenges, including climate change that we're looking at, what occurs to me is one thing that's definitely going to be needed is the ability to think collectively, right? So it goes back to what you asked me at the start, this mutual care thing, you know, that we actually have to, all of us, get better at thinking beyond our own immediate self-interest and thinking about the interest of the group, right? And ultimately the interest of the whole human race. So I like to think, you know, that's what we do with the communities, is we, you know, we are quite good as a business and in terms of our advice and getting people to think that way.
Sure. Right?
So there's a couple of kind of practical tips in that direction which have helped me, which I could share with people.
Yeah, you know, please.
The first one would be, just very generally, is when you're interacting with people, don't pay so much attention to the actual words that they're saying, but try and see through their words and try and see through their behavior to what actually matters to that person. Like, what need are they trying to express to you in the way they're interacting with you? So this is something that is especially useful in conflict situations, you know, when things start to get heated and when you feel like you're on the opposing side to someone else. You know, it's very, very tempting to get drawn into a battle over what is superficially in front of you. Mm. You're saying this. No, I disagree with you, right? So this is a really useful thing to practice, in my experience, is seeing through what the person is saying, seeing through the behavior to what need is that person express? What need is that person having at the moment that is not being met, right? Because that is the underlying thing that is probably causing the behavior in the first place, you know. So that would be my offer.
Great. I think the collective thinking piece is fascinating, and I think all as individuals, none of us probably does enough of that, and a prompt to do more of it is absolutely welcome, and I think we could all do more of that, and it's doesn't cost anything either. Which is, you know, a great thing. So there's no excuse for anybody not to do that, really.
No, but we're just, like you say, we're just so often very bad at it, you know. Like,
well, we're so wrapped up in our own worlds, as you say. We're thinking about what's important to us and what's going on in our lives. We don't take that step back and say, you know, what does this mean for the whole, for society? It's really interesting.
So we can start with the person right in front of us.
Absolutely.
Rather than thinking, what do I want to communicate to that person? It's like, well, what are they trying to communicate to me?
That's great. And we're also asking guests for a recommendation of a book or a film or something you think people should go and read or watch.
So same type of theme, right? I watched a Netflix documentary recently called Behind the Curve.
Okay.
It's about the flat earth movement, right? And the thing I found really fascinating about that is linked to this theme, I think, right? I'm really trying to see through, not immediately polarize yourself, right? It was so easy to disparage people who believe in the flat earth, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I can see you looking at it. I'm not going to say I believe in the flat earth.
But No,
I don't personally believe in the flat earth theory, right? But it's so intriguing to me that something so kind of anti-scientific, you know, and some an ancient belief really has resurfaced in the modern world, right? And has way more traction than you would ever believe, right? It's really eye-opening to witness that in this documentary. So what I'm trying to practice myself is what I've just said to you, seeing through that immediate thing that's being presented to me, which is the world is flat, right?
Yeah.
So why do these people believe this, right?
Absolutely.
And what is actually going on there, right? That's telling us something. What is that thing? How do we connect? How do we bridge the gap, right? So I think it's a super interesting documentary to watch from that point of view. Yeah.
Brilliant. We'll link up to that, Robbie. What you just said is absolutely fascinating. It just chimes with me completely. I often see it when I hear somebody, you know, whether it be climate change denial or, you know, or some religious extremism or something, where somebody is stating a point of view that I actually can't understand myself. And I'm thinking, well, how are they thinking that when the evidence and the facts and the opinion seems to say otherwise? And how have they arrived at that? And why can't I understand it? And how do I get to understand it? And that's an absolutely fascinating area. And if people don't think in that way, then they should, because, you know, we can be guilty of thinking we know best and we know what's right, and absolutely. We don't.
Absolutely.
Those tips, the recommendation is really, really fascinating, Robbie. You're right. Completely different from other things we've had, but nonetheless, completely engaging and fascinating. So that's brilliant. So before we move on to fact or fake, and we have a bit of fun with some statements. If people want to get hold of you, hold of Standing on Giants, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
The easiest way is to check out our website, you know, which is what you'd expect, standingongiants.com.
Okay.
That's the easiest thing. Yep. You know, we've tried to make things as simple and clear as possible on there. It's easy to get hold of us through there. Also, the only kind of social platform I use is LinkedIn. And I love interacting with people on LinkedIn. So if anyone wants to contact me there, more than welcome to hear from them.
And we'll put links to all those on the show page. You can go along and look up Standing on Giants and link up with Robbie if what he said has been interesting to you. But now it's time for Fact or Fake. And I have to say, Robbie, I'm on a roll. I think I've had three of these today, and I think I've come out on top, which is unusual because I was on a long losing streak before.
Okay.
Maybe you're going to turn the tide for the guests. So first up. So here's a statement. 50% of organizations say their branded community has helped to create new leads.
I'd say that's fact? True.
You think that's
I would
true?
Say, I think that's true.
Well, actually, it's not. It's more than that. That's that I made at 50%. It was a round number. Round numbers always. Maybe, but anyway, 68%.
That's a clue, is it?
Yeah. Well, 68% of branded communities say the community has helped create new leads. So, if you want more business and want new leads, then having your own community that you've developed is a really great way to do it.
You know, it certainly is.
70% of people have said this is a way of creating new leads. So,
well, I'm glad to be wrong in the right direction.
Yeah. No, it's a fascinating. The statistic, isn't it? I wouldn't have thought it was that as high as that.
I mean, it fits completely. You know, like I again, it's a cliche, but it's true. Is people, you know, when I hear community, I always think it's a community of people who are already engaged with that brand, right? And generally, people trust other people these days so much more than they trust the official sanitized PR voice of the brand, you know.
Absolutely. So next up, here's another one. 90% of communities say that suggestions from the community have been used to improve their product or service. So 90% say that suggestions have been used to improve their product or service.
Well, you know, you've got me double thinking myself, because you've used an even number again, right? And I've realised, I don't think it would be. I don't think most companies would say it's that high, right? I mean, it definitely happens, but I'm not sure that 90% would claim that. So I'd say that's false.
I'm afraid that is a fact.
According
to the research, 90% of, so if you want to know how to improve your product or your service, you get yourself a community, because, you know, most organizations are saying it's a great way to improve their product or service. I guess it's that direct feedback, isn't it, really?
It is completely. And I mean, how it fits with my experience is if you open a community, I guarantee you within a week, right, you'll have people telling you how to improve your service, right? It's just a natural thing that always happens. I think when I heard your, where I think there's, you know, there's a definite disconnect is whether the company actually listens, right, and whether it does anything is another matter, right? And that number is not going to be 90%, right? The number that actually implements something.
And the final one, 58% of online communities say that their customers are more loyal to the brand because of the community.
I'm reading your face now to try and get a read on, like, you know, 58% are more loyal.
Yeah. Say their customers are more loyal to the brand because of the community.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's definitely going to be true. I'm going to say true. I mean, I know it's true. It is, it's just the extent to which it's true.
No, that is true. That is a fact. 58%. So, so three statements there. I think I won 2-1, but we'll ignore that. But I mean, there's just some statistics there that show why creating online communities are a good thing. So,
absolutely, they are. There's a huge number of benefits. And those three are definitely up there.
Yeah, great. Robbie, it's been fascinating to speak to you and to hear your thoughts, hear about standing on giants, and hear your views on things. It's been great to have you. Like, and, you know, wish you all the luck with standing on giants, really.
Well, yeah, great to meet you too, Mike. And thanks for the really thoughtful questions and for listening to my responses, and good luck with the podcast and everything you're trying to do.
Thank you. We really hope that you found this special B Corp Month episode both informative and entertaining. Make sure you don't miss any of the other 31 interviews with B Corporations who are striving to be a force for good. So make sure you subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss a thing. And don't forget to spread the word with others. If you have any questions about being or becoming a B Corp, or any comments and suggestions about the show, please do get in touch. You can email studio@greenelephant.show or visit our website greenelephant.show, or find us on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube or Twitter by searching for Green Elipod or The Green Elephant Show. You can also review the show on Google and Apple Podcasts. Join us tomorrow, and we hope you have a sustainable day.